Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. We exalt you. We magnify you. We give you all the glory and all the praise and all the honor, for it all belongs to you, God. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. So, my friends, if you brought your Bibles, turn with me to Titus chapter 1. And we're going to do our best to expound verses 6 through 9. 6 through 9. So while you're getting there, let me get the screen ready for us right up here. And I'm excited about this evening's study. Amen. So let's go there right now. Here we go. I've entitled this evening's message, Learning to be Self-Controlled. Learning to be self-controlled. You see, what I love about Paul the Apostle, saints of God, is he always exhorted the readers, those who he was writing to. At this time, he was writing to many of the churches. But this particular book, he was writing about Titus, a faithful servant. He's mentioned throughout the New Testament and all the writings of Paul the Apostle throughout his epistles. And Titus was faithful and he was diligent. And he honored the Lord. But one of the things that we're going to see in this evening's study is Paul always conveyed to his readers that love covers a multitude of sins. Meaning, we need to learn to walk in love. As we walk in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, we will learn to be self-controlled. Oh, yes, we will. Why? Because it's about a relationship. A relationship with the Lord. And so, just like many of you have beautiful marriages, you have a wonderful relationship with your spouse. Some of you have children, grandchildren. It's a beautiful relationship. Well, you learn through love to be self-controlled with every facet of our life. And we're going to see this through the scriptures tonight. So, let's go there now and let's turn to Titus chapter 1. And let's expound verses 6 through 9. This is another expository teaching this evening. Here we go. And it reads, if a man is blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination, verse 7, for a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God and not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money. Verse 8 and verse 9. But hospitable, a lover of what is good. There you go. Love what is good. Sober-minded. Just. Holy. Self-controlled. Look at this. Verse 9. Holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine, meaning teaching, both to exhort and convict those who contradict. Praise God. Praise God. And so, my friends, let's go to verse 6 right up here, and let's start this Bible study this evening. Here we go. If a man is blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination. Okay, my friends, here we go. So, now, listen. I love what Paul briefly described some qualifications that an elder should have. Paul had given Timothy a similar set of instructions for choosing leaders in the Ephesian church. And so I want you to see what Paul wrote to Timothy. He wrote this right up here in 1 Timothy. This is a faithful saying. Chapter 3, verse 1 through 7. Look at this. This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. Praise God. A bishop then must be what? Blameless. The husband of one wife. temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach. That's one of the key elements right there. Able to teach. Look at this in verse 3. Not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous. One who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. Verse 5. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Let me just pause there for a moment. This is a great point right here that Paul wrote to Timothy. And this is why I've always said this time and time again. If your home is out of order, everything else in your life will be out of order, especially when you come to the household of God. Because if it's not taken care of at home, you will bring that same type of attitude, the quarrelsome, the division, everything that's taking place at home. If it's not at peace with God and with each other, it'll transfer wherever you go. And so this is why being an elder, being a bishop, being someone in authority needs to walk with wisdom, walk with humility, walk with God, knowing that He's for us, not against us, that He's there to help us. He's there to see us through. Let me just say this. God will never leave us nor forsake us. God will always be with us. God has called us from our mother's womb. And so He's going to keep us. He's going to sanctify us. He's already justified us at the cross. And He sees us in our glorified state. But one of the key elements in this whole walk with God is to walk with humility, to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Let's go back right here to the scriptures that I had right here laid out. If a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Look at this. In verse 6, not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Wow. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. That is key, my friends. That is key. Be careful on how you entreat one another, especially in private, especially at home where there's no one around. Can you still love them in the public? Can you still love them in the public if you're being ferocious to one another in the private? I want you to catch that. This is why, my friends, we need to learn how to love each other, how to forgive each other, how to edify each other, how to build each other up. Why? Because we're living in a time of wickedness. We're living in a time right now where morals and good ethics is thrown out the window now. Now everything is kind of upside down. There are so many things right now in this world that are teaching our children the abominations that God calls out in His Word. So this is where we, us parents, husband and wives, who have children and grandchildren, to raise them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord, to teach them how to walk and to talk, to edify them, to build them up, to encourage them, never to condemn them. Why? Because little kids will make mistakes. You've made them, I've made them. But build them up in their most holy faith, and they will see God in their life. Oh, that's right. Why? Because if you're demonstrating it, they're watching God in your life. Can I get an amen in the house? Praise God. Let's go to this next scripture that I found right up here. 1 Timothy 5:22. Do not lay hands on anyone hastily, nor share in other people's sins. Keep yourself pure. I want you to catch that for a moment. Do not lay hands on anyone hastily, nor share in other people's sins. Keep yourself pure. Look, sometimes, you know, out of just having a good nature, we want to help someone that's struggling in their sin. But you have to be careful, like the Word of God says, because you can get caught up in that same sin, whatever they're in. Oh, that's right. That's right. That's why we have to purify our hearts. We got to pray before we minister to someone and make sure that we're in the right place, that we have the right heart, that we truly are there to minister to their need and not to go and condemn. We have to always find ways, saints of God, to keep our hearts pure. Can I get an amen in the house? We need to stay pure. Saints, notice that most of the qualifications involve character, not knowledge or skill. A person's lifestyle and relationships provide a window into his character. Consider these qualifications as you evaluate people for positions of leadership, especially like in your church, our church. It is important to have leaders who can effectively preach God's word, but even more importantly, they must live out God's word and be example for others so they can see Christ in you, so they can follow the Lord. And one of the first qualifications is to be well thought, a well thought out life, a good life, positioning yourself that when people see you, they see someone godly. An elder must have no conduct that would be grounds for any kind of accusation. He must be above reproach, not perfect, but above reproach. What does that mean? We're never going to be perfect. The Bible says we've all fallen short of the glory of God. But above reproach, meaning learning to be self-controlled, learning to be self-disciplined in life. Can I get an amen? All of us struggle in areas in our life, but if we learn to overcome those by the power of God, by the word of God, by the grace of God, by the Spirit of God that lives within us, we can be overcomers. You can overcome. Oh, that's right. What seemed to be so difficult becomes more and more and more easier to do. Why? It's like this. If you get tired when you walk, keep on walking and you will obtain endurance. Well, practice good morals. Practice self-control and watch God take you higher and higher with Him. And again, saints of God, the point here is that the leaders cannot be blamed, but rather than what they blamed, and their life will prove the falsehood of the blame. And so we have to be careful not to blame people, especially when they fall short. Oh, that's right. Edify them. Build them up. Can I get an amen in the house? You see, he must be faithful to his wife, the bishop, the elder, the leader. She must be faithful to her husband. That's right. It works both ways. And the leader should not be promiscuous, but be faithful in his marriage. Now, saints of God, this did not prohibit an unmarried person from becoming an elder. No, because there's a lot of wonderful single people that are in ministry that do a wonderful job. God is not saying that. But if you are married, learn to love your spouse unconditionally. Learn to build up their life so that there is no reproach, so that there is no blame to spread around. Praise God. And then the elder, the bishop, that his children must be believers who are not wild or rebellious, would show that the church leader has proven that he can lead his own household. An elder's children should have received spiritual training and should be believers. Can I get an amen? That's right. We can't be the kind of people, saints of God, where we load up our children, we drop them off at church, and then we take off. I've seen that many times. No, we go to church with them. Can I get an amen? And they need to see us worshiping and praising God because we love God. And it's not out of a religious connotation. It's because we have a relationship with God. Amen. Now, my friends, this will prove that they care about teaching and correct doctrine and discipline of others. Obviously, saints of God, those whose children are rebelling, running wild, and refusing to obey would not be fit for the important position of leading God's people. Oh, that's right. You know, if your house is out in disarray, wow. How do you expect to lead someone in church? It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. It doesn't take discernment. It doesn't take judging. You ought to know for yourself whether you're able to move in that area so that God can use you effectively and that God could build you up and God will take you to the next level with Him. You see, how one's children lives attests to how the Christian life is practiced at home. Praise God, praise God. So let's move on now. Let's move on to verse 7. For a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money. Praise God, praise God. That's a whole lot in there. That's a whole lot. Let's read it one more time. Let's look at this. For a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money. Wow, praise God, praise God. There's a whole lot there, saints of God. There's a whole lot there. But these things are obtainable. And it doesn't come overnight. It's laying aside, hear me clearly, laying aside every weight and sin that so easily besets us. And the Bible says, let us press toward the prize and the call in Christ Jesus. You see, saints of God, an elder must live a blameless life, emphasizing that this quality is essential in any person who is God's minister. Church leaders who act unworthily and bring blame and reproach on themselves also damage God's work. Oh, yes, that's right. Let's look at this scripture right here found in 1 Timothy. Look at this, 3:2. Look at this. An overseer then must be above reproach, the husband of but one wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, look at that, hospitable, able to teach. Saints of God, there are many people in our lives that operate like this. But then there are those who are in ministry that don't, and they shouldn't be in ministry. Why? Because their house is out of order, their life is out of order. But then again, some people say, well, you know, just let them grow. Yeah, let them grow. They need to grow in the grace, but not as a leadership role. People need to see a purity of heart. People need to see this operated in their life, in their home and outside of the home. Can I get an amen? Praise God, praise God. You see, my friends, an overseer then must be above reproach. The husband, but of one wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach. We just read these things. Praise God. Praise God. Look at this verse of scripture that I found right here. In 1 Timothy 3:3. Not dependent on wine, not violent, but gentle, peaceable, and free of the love of money. Wow. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I found another scripture right here. Look at this. In 1 Timothy 3:8. Deacons likewise must be dignified, not double-tongued, or given too much wine, or greedy for money. Wow, I saw that now three times, greedy for money. That's right. Let me just say this. How can you say you're a minister of God on Saturday nights, you're in the Indian reservation casinos, and then you come and serve God on Sunday? You come from a table of devils to the things of God. It doesn't match. It doesn't mix. It doesn't click, does it? Well, listen, just ask God to deliver you. If you struggle in that area, say, God, take this from me. It's bringing reproach to you, God. It's bringing a reproach to me and my family. Listen, when my brother years ago invited us to go watch Battle of the Badges, and these were law enforcement boxing each other, it was at Barona's. And I remember walking in, and I didn't want to, but we had to go through the casino to get to the back of the place where the ring was. And my goodness, I seen rows and rows and rows of slot machines. And they had these little trinkets on it. Some of them were of Catholic faith. And they would do the sign of the cross, and then they would pull that arm, provoking God to win. Wow. My goodness. There's people like that. Pray for them. If you know someone like that, pray for them. Don't condemn them. Don't slander them. Just pray for them that God would deliver them. Can I get an amen? That God would deliver them. Oh, yes, because they need deliverance. They need the grace of God. Let's look at another scripture that I found right here. Look at this. A servant of the Lord must not be quarrelsome and must be kind to everyone, able to teach and forbearing. That is so vital. That is so vital that we will learn to teach and to have relationships with people in a kind manner, not in a derogatory sense, not chewing them up and spitting them out just because you disagree with their point. Saints, we're all going to disagree with one another, but we can agree to disagree. We don't have to be mean-spirited about it. And if there's something that you just don't like of what someone said, just give it to the Lord. Don't take it to heart. Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints, Paul's guidelines take on added significance in the Cretan setting. For the Cretans were known as having disreputable character, horrible characters. They were mean-spirited. And sometimes the leadership guidelines from Scripture were harmonized with prevailing standards for mature leaders in a culture, and at other times they will conflict. Apparently, saints of God, Titus was to be careful with the Cretans. Oh, that's right. He had to be careful. Why? Because Paul was admonishing him, don't fall into the traps over there with these mean-spirited people. Love them. Preach the gospel. Serve the Lord. And watch them look at your life, that it's pure and it's holy, and that you love God. You see, saints, a pitfall of leadership is becoming arrogant. But pride can seduce emotions and cloud reasons, making a church leader ineffective. Pride and conceit were the devil's downfall. And he uses pride to trap others. Oh, yes. In addition to that sense, a quick-tempered person will speak and act without thinking, hurting people and damaging the church's work and reputation. We have to guard this tongue. Can I get an amen? We have to be kind on what we said. We have to be willing to listen. We can't be willing to just fly off the handle and say what we want to say, and then eventually it hurts someone. You want people to not be in your life, then say derogatory things with a fast mouth and you watch them leave. They won't be part of your life. They won't be part of our church. We got to handle it with special care. Can I get an amen? I look at it like this. Every church should be a hospital where we come and get mended spiritually. We get healed physically. We find salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that's right, saints of God. And these last three prohibitions had particularly significant for Titus's search for church leaders in the first century in Crete. A church leader must not be a heavy drinker or violent. And often the result of being quick-tempered or drunk. Furthermore, the leaders that Titus chose should serve out of love, my friends, not because they are greedy for money. Praise God. Praise God. And so let's move on now to verse 8. Here we go. But hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled. That is the key. This is where I got tonight's topical message. Self-control. Learning to be self-controlled, saints of God. You see, saints, after listing characteristics, a church leader should not have, but Paul lists these positive qualities of love and joy and peace and purity. Hospitality was of primary importance to this culture, and believers were commanded to be hospitable so that their leaders should enjoy one another, enjoying having guests, revealing devotion and concern for the welfare of others. Praise God. Praise God. Saints, I want us to read this portion of scripture right here. Look at this. Found in John chapter 3 John 1 through 8. Look at this. It says this. the elder, to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. For I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. Key element, walk in the truth, saints of God. Look at this. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers. Verse 6, who have borne witness of your love before the church, if you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well. Praise God. Look at this in verse 7 and 8. Because they went forth for his name's sake, for the name of Jesus, taking nothing from the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such that we may become fellow workers for the truth. That's what it's all about. It's spelled out right there. To walk in love, walk in purity, build each other's life. Oh, that's right. Listen, I know it's difficult for some of you who have loved ones that won't come to church, that they say, yeah, you go, that's okay. Don't beat them on the head with the Bible. Love them. They need to see Jesus operating in your life. And so they may never come to a Bible study. They may never come to a Sunday morning service. And so the only Bible they're going to read is your life. Live the life of Christ before them. Cause them to want what you have. And watch them come running to the household of faith. Oh, that's right. It's as simple as that. You see, saints, Paul insisted that the leaders be known for loving all that is good. And this person displays that goodness in the spiritual realm as he lives wisely and is fair to others. A believer who is devout will most likely also have a disciplined life, picturing a person who, like an athlete, is constantly in training in his Christian life for the service of God. Praise God. That's right. That's why when we read this verse of scripture right here, found in 1 Timothy 3:2, an overseer then must be above reproach. We read this earlier. Let's read this again. The husband of but one wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, saints of God. Praise God. Praise God. So let's move on to our last verse of scripture, and that's found in verse 9. Of Titus chapter 1, and it reads, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine, that means sound teaching, both to exhort and convict those who contradict. Oh, that's right. There are those who will contradict, but let the Spirit of God bring conviction. You don't have to condemn them. Can I get an amen? You see, my friends, the church leader must meet moral and spiritual requirements in his personal life and be reliable in his understanding and teaching of the message he was taught. Oh, that's right. The last phase actually occurs first in the Greek for emphasis. The message as it had been taught by the apostles was the trustworthy message that the church leaders must teach their entire congregation, saints of God. There must be strong and be steadfast so that they can encourage others with the right teaching and point out the errors of those who oppose them. But you got to do it in love. Pastors must fulfill a positive and a negative function in handling the truth. They must encourage by preaching and supporting and in reinforcing people as they follow the truth, things of God. But pastors must also confront and refute false ideas. Confident leaders with backbone, courage, and an irrefutable message would stand in a strong contrast with Cretan lifestyles, character, and traits. False teachers described in the following verses that we have read, saints of God. And so, my friends, we need to be steadfast. We need to be about our Father's business. Oh, that's right. Yes, we do. Let's look at this verse of scripture right here. Look at this in 2 Thessalonians 2:15. Therefore, brothers, stand firm and cling to the traditions we taught you, whether by speech or what? By letter. That's right. And then back to 1 Timothy, look at this, right up here. For the sexually immoral, for the homosexuals, for slave traders and liars and perjurers, and for anyone else who is averse to sound teaching. That's what's happening right now in the church. Many churches are bowing down now to the things that are called abominations to God. Listen, we are not to compromise. A good leader, a pastor, an elder, a bishop will teach sound doctrine, will tell you to refrain from these lifestyles. Why? Because they will endanger you. Yes, they can destroy the faith. But I'm here to let you know, if God be for you, who could be against you? Can I get an amen? Praise God, praise God, praise God. Look at this next verse of scripture right here. Holding on to faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and thereby shipwrecked their faith. Look at that. Some people have done that, saints of God. They just threw the baby out with the bathwater. Look at this. 2 Timothy 1:13. Hold on to the pattern of sound teaching you have heard from me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Hold on, saints of God. Hold on. Look at this, found in 2 Timothy 3:14. But as for you, continue in the things you have learned and firmly believed, since you know them whom you have learned them. Wow. Wow, saints. I'm here to let you know that we are living in a time where the church is truly needed. I'm talking about doors that will open where people could come in and receive sound teaching, to be built up in their most holy faith, to be loved and to be cared for, not to be ridiculed and downtrodden and rebuked and belittled. The world does that 24/7. But we need to be a people of grace and mercy. Why? Because Jesus is coming soon. And he's looking for those who are loving him and loving his people, loving mankind, loving children, loving the things that God has created. You know, he created you and I for purpose. We're not an accident. We're not a coincidence. No, we're not. We have been anointed and appointed and approved by God. And before the foundation of the world, my friends, he already knew us. And now he's looking for you and I to live up to the potential that's before us, that we would walk in glory, walk in his grace, walk in his mercy, walk in his love, and love one another as we love ourselves. Jesus is coming soon. And because he's coming soon, we need to prepare ourselves. We need to know that Jesus is soon to take us home. How many believe that, saints of God? Maybe you're watching for the first time, second time, third time, and you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. My heart cries out that maybe this time you will humble yourself and that you will bow your heart and your head with me and pray this simple sinner's prayer to receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. Maybe this is your moment. Well, if it is, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's watching right now to pray with me, to pray for you, that maybe, just maybe, God will do the miraculous in your life, that God will transform you, that God will give you a brand new life. How many of you want a brand new life? Praise God. I want that brand new body, what he has promised to give to those who love him. So I'm going to ask that you would bow your heart and your head with me and pray this simple prayer. It goes like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Give him a shout of glory. Hallelujah. How many believe he is worthy, worthy, worthy to be praised? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. My friends, I want to thank and praise each and every one of you. Down below, you can see is our website. If you've given your heart to Jesus, give us a shout. On our email, you can go there on our website, is our email, is our phone number, call us. We want to give you a Bible and put it in your hand and watch God do the miraculous in your life. We're excited that you've given your heart to God. And also, as you can see down below, many of you have been truly a blessing to Amazing Grace. And so thank you. Thank you for supporting our ministry. As you can read down below, donations are deeply appreciated. Well, my friends, it's time for me to sign off, and I thank and praise God for the book of Titus. I praise God that we expounded verses 6 through 9. We're going to continue next week with starting with verse 10. And so I leave our benediction, and it goes just like this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his shalom, his peace. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. So, my friends, on behalf of Sister Yolanda and the Amazing Grace family, we love you guys. Can't wait to see you Sunday morning at 10 a.m. And don't forget, potluck right after service. Bring some delicious dishes and also our healing rooms at 1 p.m. We love you. God bless you. And we'll see you Sunday morning. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. Yeah.